right. The brow is officially back for the Lakers. Is KD eyeing a Subway series this postseason?
Oh, here we go.
And we look ahead to the Oscars Sunday with our nominees for Best NBA Picture. So bring it all in one more time, because The Jump starts now. Look at the love. Look at the love there, guys.
Plenty of it.
We would do that too, except we're not allowed within 6 feet of each other. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside NBA champions Richard Jefferson, Matt Barnes. Guys, let's kick off this Friday edition of the show by playing Can I Have a Word?
Oh, yes.
Eight-time All-Star Anthony Davis making his first appearance on court last night since Valentine's Day due to a calf strain. Now, AD played 17 minutes, all in the first half. That was the plan. That's not because he got more hurt. He scored 4 points, grabbed 4 rebounds, and here he is talking about his return.
I just went out there and played. I think it kind of limits what you do if you out there thinking about your injury. And so I just went out there and play and just not think about it, go out there and just have fun and just, you know, be excited to be back on the floor. That was my main thing. I was just excited to be back on the floor, you know, with the guys. So I never thought about it. I never didn't limit to any moves. I wasn't hesitant with anything. So that was a good sign for me.
So the way this game, Can I Have a Word, works is that Richard and Matt are supposed to write on their little blackboards what their word is for Anthony Davis's return. Apparently, this was too hard for Richard.
Let me tell you, what you're about to see is what his face looks like when he comes in every day, last minute, rushing salad dressing all over his face.
This is your word for Anthony Davis.
That's my word.
Return. Oh, I'm sorry. Can we get a close-up of that, actually? Because I would like you guys to see that it's not, not a word.
It's ranch.
It looks like you.
No,
what has happened to you?
You guys gave me these chalk things. Look.
Yeah, it's a chalkboard.
But it's not good. I tried to wipe it off the chalk and it's smeared. It looked like I walked
please.
In here.
I don't know who's Mylan on the camera. You got to come closer. So, there we go.
That's
come
ranch
on.
That's his mouth.
No. Okay. So look, this is what I'm saying.
That's his bald head too.
It was. I'm literally a walking emoji. No, my word. It's just a happy face. It's just good. Like, we've missed so many players over the course of this season, and with the injuries and with all this other stuff. Ultimately, like, the MVP race could be dictated because of injuries to multiple high-level players. Yeah. And so it's just a smile. Everybody, if you're a fan of basketball, not even a Laker fan, not even an Anthony Davis fan, it should make you smile to have those guys on the court.
Absolutely. My word, they maybe changed my word, but let Richard get away with the smiley face ranch on it. Expected. As I said yesterday, knowing the game, I just wanted AD to come out, get bumped, run up and down, get his win, fall down.
Right.
He got fouled. People fell on top of him, but he bounced right back up. You know, that's what you want to see. It wasn't about the points. It wasn't about the rebounds. To me, it wasn't even about the win. It's let's slowly rev AD up so when the playoffs come, him and LeBron are hitting on all cylinders.
I thought one thing he said that was so impactful was he said, I didn't even think about it, right? I mean, you guys have both come back from injuries.
Yes.
And most of the guys we interview on the media side say, yeah, I was.
That's the hardest thing.
20 minutes. I really was thinking about it out there, all that stuff. And he seemed pretty sincere. He said that when he did his ramp up through the week, he said he was tentative then.
Right.
Yeah. But then when he felt no pain for all 3 or 4 days, he was able to just go out there clean. And I assume that that's a big deal as you're an athlete.
Oh, it's huge. And to Matt's point, when you say a guy goes out there, he gets bumped, gets hit. If you do it all in practice first, then the game does become somewhat of a dress rehearsal.
Right.
And so now it's like, okay, it's the minute restrictions. It's about him ramping up and being able to go harder, go a little bit more. But I think the Lakers and him did a great job preparing him for this moment right now.
Yeah, just baby steps, because it's going to be a marathon once they get going. You know, they plan on playing till the end. So right now it's just about getting his legs underneath him.
I spoke to Anthony this morning and he confirmed he will indeed be on a minute restriction again on Saturday night. By the way, I like to point out that Matt had to erase some of his, and he was able to do that cleanly, and all you managed to do was draw a smiley face and smear it all over your board. So let's see if you can do a better job.
All right, let's go.
This time. We're talking Kemba Walker. He dropped 32 points in a win over the Suns last night. Walker expected to rest tonight, but he has played in 38 of the Celtics' 59 games so far this season. And he told me when we were in Boston on Saturday night that he feels the best he has since he was a Celtic, and that it makes a difference in his confidence in his shot and how he plays. So, Matt, Can I have a word for Kemba leading the Celtics to a big win last night?
To me, again, the win is less important. Just this Kemba is the Kemba they're going to need to go forward. He's going to have to be that consistent third option. Some nights even lead the team in scoring. But I think him and Marcus Smart playing at their high level with their two young stars.
Why are you looking at? Why you keep looking at?
Because they need to protect you at all costs. You're special. You are definitely special. But this is the this is important. You need Kemba to stay aggressive. You need him to make plays. You need him to play defense. He drew a lot of charges last night. They need this Kemba Walker, the guy that was in Charlotte, if Boston has a chance to make a run in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Richard, are you struggling again?
No, this okay. is. What emoji is that?
It's not a word, which is, again, can I hold up my sign, please? The name of the game, can I have a word?
Again, those are just details. Like, that's, look, I'm just giving you how I feel.
I feel the pain of all of your former coaches right now. Keep going.
Yes, you're right. I don't know what that emoji is. That was just one I drew. But my thing is, like, I can't even express this. If Kemba Walker can do.
I'm glad we pay you to be on television.
If Kemba Walker can even come remotely close to this. And again, it goes back to the Anthony Davis. It's great to see Anthony Davis on the court. It's great to see Kemba Walker doing what he's capable of doing. And it's not because he hasn't been working hard. It's because he had an injury.
Right.
And so anybody that criticizes a guy, especially a little guy. Mm-hmm. A little guy can't just be big.
Nope.
A little guy, like, he needs
everything has to be right.
Everything has to be right for a little guy.
Is that a smiley face, confused face?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my face after seeing that face.
Yeah, it's like dead but smiling. I don't know.
Jesus. Dead but smiling.
Richard,
I don't know.
You are one of my favorite humans on the planet. Freakishly talented at this job, and yet this is where you have fallen.
I'm ready for the next one.
Oh, boy.
Wait till you see the next one.
Are all the viewers out there ready for the next one? I don't know. Let's move on to the Knicks. Knicks fans reportedly slid into KD's DMs to boast about the Knicks' success and said that he'd love to see a Nets-Knicks playoff series, to which KD allegedly replied that he indeed would love for that to happen. Now, this is all according to a fan. I've not been in KD's DMs, I'd like to announce to America, so I can't say for sure what's going on there. But Richard, the idea of a Subway series, if in fact this exchange happened as reported, what is your word? And as I look over the desk here, I can already tell it's not happening again.
Hold on, go to Matt first.
Hey,
go to Matt first.
Matt doesn't have to be ready early because
I'm good. I'm ready. I'm going to put two words because he doesn't know how to use any words.
Yes. Right. There we go.
Much needed.
Ooh.
I think this would be amazing. You know, basketball is better when New York is relevant, particularly the Knicks. They have their stuff in the fourth seed. The Nets are loaded. It would be amazing to have that kind of, hopefully, may possibly start a rivalry between these, you know, this young Knicks team and this Nets team that's here to stay.
Okay, so this is. I put a word there. It says no.
Wait.
You what? What? There's a face, and then he has little dots in his head right there. It says no. You do not want that.
You don't want that smoke.
You do not. Who does not want that?
The Knicks fans.
Oh.
No. And look, Knicks fans. This is look. I know I've given you guys a lot of heat, and all the heat that you want to give me right now is completely deserved. I have no problem with that. But I. Even on the great teams that I play, I had LeBron James on my team, and I didn't want to see Kevin Durant.
Right.
Like, let's just be really honest, guys. Like, let's be real. You don't have to show the Knicks the Nets highlights. They grew up watching them. So all I'm saying here is that
Richard, these are highlights.
It's great. It's great. It's great for a rivalry. I think it's great that the Knicks are at that level. But understand, if the Nets are healthy,
what you ask.
Yeah,
for.
Be careful. You don't like. This is not a guy that.
How many games would this series go?
I would say four.
Hey, Twitter.
But look.
Twitter, you know where
I think. I think the Knicks would win two games, and we're going to say this being 100% healthy. If every team is 100% healthy, and I do believe the way Julius Randle is playing, I believe that Knicks defense is outstanding right now. I think
it would be a first round series, right? So the idea would be that the Nets, as we've seen, haven't had all their guys there, so they would, even if they were back, would be kind of rounding into form.
Yes, and so I understand. I like the excitement, but let me be very, very clear. This is a guy that before he got hurt, he had just won two championships, two finals MVPs, was on his way to a third championship before the torn Achilles. That's the guy that you guys want to get into his DMs and start chirping with? You guys are different.
You know he's going to respond, too.
quickly. Oh.
Which I get. Richard, you were part of the Nets-Knicks rivalry when the Nets were very good and going to NBA Finals, which is what this Nets team wants to be. What is the feeling being inside that where, again, the years you went to the Finals, you were the best team to come out of the East, but yet the Knicks were so much more popular back then. Many more people like them than you. What is it like to be in the middle of that?
Well, look, I completely respect the fact that the Knicks are still the Knicks, that they are still one of the most important teams in not only in basketball, in American sports. Like, that's how big they are. Absolutely. They're one of the top programs when you really look at the whole organization. But ultimately, we knew that, so we took it personally to go and do what we want to do. As a Clipper, you really wanted to beat the Lakers, right? And as a Lakers, you really wanted to push down
times,
the Clippers.
Yeah, there was times, obviously, when that Lob City team and the Lakers were going through rebuilding, that we took pride in beating the Lakers as much as we can because they've always been so good, and now obviously they're back on top. So I get exactly what you're trying to say.
You know what? Just leave him alone. Like, leave that man.
Him? Plus Kyrie and James on
just,
the side.
Look, guys, just listen. This is one thing, and look, I've gotten a lot of wrath the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. Understandably, I'm okay with it. But that man you don't want to mess with. I'm okay with it. Mess with me. Leave him alone for your sake.
I am also okay with anyone messing with Richard. I just want to put that out there. But I will say this about some of the Knicks fan reaction. You mentioned it the other day, Richard. There's kind of these constant cries of like, oh, you want to talk about us now? You want to jump on the bandwagon now? There are no participation medals in the NBA. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, Rachel. I'm kidding.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
You don't want us to just only say good things about your team if they're not doing well, because then when they are doing well and we say good things, then it isn't real.
Right,
like,
I agree.
It is real that the Knicks are doing extreme. The turnaround has been tremendous. So impressive, which is why you hear us talking about it.
And
so
I love the victory lap of Julius Randle. It's like, y'all won 21 games last year, and you weren't invited to the bubble. Like,
I do actually like the victory lap.
I like it. No, I like it now, but they're making it seem like we always knew that Julius Randle was going to be this player.
I think Julius is entitled to talk his talk.
Julius is entitled to talk as much as he would like because he is that good and he's having an all-NBA season. But somebody, I was like, oh, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that Julius Randle should be an all-NBA. We've been saying it for the last couple of months. So you were saying it when you guys were four games under 500.
I'm going to just leave it at what Matt said. You know where to find Richard on Twitter.
Whatever.
All right, coming up. And thank you, Matt, for understanding English vocabulary words, unlike our friend. The Lakers and Mavs square off Saturday night in our ABC primetime matchup. Major playoff implications on the line. Who needs the dub more? We will discuss. Kristaps Porzingis left the game against the Lakers in the third quarter with a sprained left ankle. He did not return. Coach Rick Carlisle said after the win, quote, "We are hoping it's not too severe. I don't think he's been ruled out for Saturday yet, but with ankles, a lot of it is about how the player is feeling the next morning." Porzingis averaging more than 20 points per game, but has missed 19 games this season. Have to turn to some really, really heartbreaking news. Terrence Clark, a highly regarded NBA draft prospect, died following a car accident here in the Los Angeles area last night. It was announced that Clark, and look, he's just 19 years old, and this comes from the LAPD's Valley Traffic Division, told our Ramona Shelburne that Clark was a solo occupant in the vehicle that ran a red light, and that he was, quote, going at a very high rate of speed in the San Fernando Valley area. Approximately 2 in the afternoon, Clark, who declared for the draft 1 year after being at the University of Kentucky, he was driving a this-year model Hyundai Genesis. He was not wearing his seatbelt properly, though, according to authorities. Clark's mother was at his side when he died, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, I cannot imagine having to see your son crash in front of you. My heart just goes out to this family. Kentucky coach John Calipari feels the same, released the following statement, quote, "I am absolutely gutted, sick tonight. A young person who we all love has just lost his life too soon, one with all his dreams and hopes ahead of him. Terrence Clark was a beautiful kid, someone who owned the room with his personality, smile, and joy. People gravitated toward him. And to hear we have lost him is just hard for all of us to even comprehend right now. We are all in shock." And Rich Paul, who had just signed Clark to Clutch Sports, shared the following, quote, "We are saddened and devastated by the tragic loss of Terrence Clark. Terrence was an incredible, hardworking young man. He was excited for what was ahead of him and ready to fulfill his dreams. Our prayers go out to Terrence and his family, who asked for privacy during this difficult time." Now, Clark grew up in the Boston area in Dorchester and was the best prospect to come out of the city in years, a consensus five-star player. He went to Brewster Academy in New Hampshire. Here's some reaction from the Celtics, starting with Kemba Walker.
Very tough news, man. He's a very, very good kid. You know, just always smiling, always energetic. And he was about to get his opportunity, too. You know, my condolences to his family. It's a tough time, man. That's really tough news to hear.
Not sure how much I'd want to talk about the game when you consider it a Boston kid. Those kids are important to us here, and even though I didn't, you know, I've never met him, you know, my son looks up to him, and hard to talk about a basketball game.
Jaylen Brown also tweeted, he wrote to the NBA, added them, said, "Please let my little brother's name get called this year in the draft. We need that. Rest in peace." Our deepest condolences to the friends and family of Terrence Clark. I have heard all of the things that you heard there from Coach Cal. Just this kid was a light in every room he walked into and just gone way, way, way too soon. We will be right back. And welcome back. Saturday's matchup has some pretty significant playoff seeding implications. Dallas just 2.5 games behind the Lakers for that fifth spot out west. More importantly, to avoid the play-in scenario, neither team wants to be ending the season in that 7 or 8 spot. So, Richard, who do you think needs to win more on Saturday night, the Lakers or the Mavericks?
I would say the Lakers need to win more because I think truly there's more at stake for them, right? If you get into a one-game situation and maybe it's Steph Curry, maybe it could be Luka, you don't know, and all of a sudden you're in a tough spot, maybe you're whatever, you don't know. The Lakers have an opportunity to win a championship. That's not Dallas's goals this year. I think those are unrealistic, no disrespect, but the Lakers, that is a realistic expectation. So for them, it's more important to stay away from that.
I think it's more important for Dallas. I think it's important for them to be healthy. The unicorn sprained his ankle again. He's just been bitten by the injury bug, and he's going to need to be that Robin to Luka's Batman for them to make any kind of noise in the playoffs. And I've been saying a lot, you know, as long as the Lakers are healthy, and I agree, anything can happen in one game, but I'm taking Lakers versus anyone in the playing game as long as they're healthy, and then I'm taking Lakers versus anyone in the West as long as they're healthy. So to me, it's more about continuing to rev AD up, getting LeBron back and revving him up and knowing that once the playoffs hit, they're at full strength.
Well, it's funny you say that, Matt, because I sat down with Anthony Davis just moments before the start of this show. Here's a little excerpt. The full countdown will run on ABC tomorrow. Take a look.
How concerned are you about the road ahead for the postseason and defending your title?
No matter where we fall, we know that we're capable of still winning a championship. Injuries played a part this season for us, and we always say it makes it a lot sweeter at the end. I don't think no one wants to see us first round, you know, especially the top team if we're eighth or anything, you know. So, like I said, I know the type of team that we have, and I know what we can do.
There you go, talking his talk. And by the way, when that said moments ago, it was literally right before the show. There was about 5-minute period where I thought you two were going to be on the air by yourself.
That'd be
great. And they were investigating blackout scenario.
The jump might have crashed.
That'd
Richard,
be the last
though, what do you think of Anthony Davis being that confident? Because Matt sounds like he's just as confident as AD.
Well, the confidence comes from being a champion. When you've been there to the mountaintop, you understand what it takes. Then you can kind of look down. And I'm not, you're not looking down on the other teams, but you can look down and say, oh, okay, like this is still ours. This is still ours. We just have to get healthy. And look, Utah's dealing with it. The Nets have dealt with it. There's so many teams that have dealt with this over the course of the season that I think they look at this was just their time to go through it, but they are still that team.
Mm-hmm. Seeding is more important to teams who haven't been there that are still trying to establish and prove themselves and find an identity. When you've done this, you know, you've time and time again for LeBron throughout his career and then been able to get a championship last year, it's all about health because you know you still you'll have a while to go once you get to the finals.
And that playoff experience, right? I mean, some of the teams that are at the top of the West right now, they're varying levels of playoff experience. Some guys have done it all. Chris Paul, obviously, been to a conference finals. But some guys are just finding their way in the playoffs for the first time. And that team, even though the Lakers have had turnover, the bulk of that team not only has playoff experience, but now championship experience. And that's why you hear him talking that talk. The rest of the conversation was really good. I look forward to showing it to everyone tomorrow. All right, let's get back to Bucks Sixers, because that win over the Sixers last night put Milwaukee within three games of locking up the number one seed in the East. Of course, Philly and Brooklyn are also still involved at the top of that bracket. After the game, Giannis, though, talked about his lack of motivation for keeping up with the standings. Take a look.
We got to keep playing hard, keep believing in ourselves. It's a great compliment coming from Charles Barkley, you know, believing in us that we can make the NBA final. But at the end of the day, we got to take it step by step. Today was a step. Today was a playoff game for me and for my team. But we got to keep working hard. We got to stay humble. And we've been up. We've been a number one team in the East, and we just fell short the last 2 years, but now we just got to keep believing in ourselves, keep working hard, take it step by step. Hopefully we can make it to the NBA Finals.
So you hear Giannis there refer to it. They've been the number one seed in the East. Hasn't gotten them to the finals. In fact, here is a breakdown of the seeds to win the East over the last 18 seasons. So the bulk of two decades, it's really only been three number ones that have even gotten out of the East to the finals. Matt, how valuable is the top seed?
Yeah, I think this piggybacks off what I just said. I mean, Milwaukee was a team that was new to this experience, and they fought every single game to get that number one seed for the home court advantage, and they still came up short. So now more than ever, I think home court is less important because there's a limited amount of fans. So right now, the most important thing, I don't want to keep repeating myself, is just to be healthy and playing the right kind of basketball going in. And I think Milwaukee's doing that. The Clippers are doing that. So there's not so much hype around getting that top seed like there was for both those teams last year.
Look, Matt and I have both been on teams that felt like they had a chance to win a championship. And a lot of times what you try and do is like, we're going to work on this today. Hey, we're going to switch this.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to play this lineup. Hey, we're going to do this. You don't try a lot of things when you have something rolling and you're going towards a number one seed.
Right.
When you're like, hey, we're trying to build and we want to see what a small lineup looks like. We want to see what a big, those might cost you games, but it'll give you an ability to be familiar once you're in the postseason. It's like, hey guys, we played this small lineup. Remember, this is what we got to do. Guys, we've done the big lineup. This is what we have to do. So I like them focusing on being the best basketball team than trying to be the number one seed.
Absolutely.
And that is particularly important for the Bucks, right? What has been the major criticism of them? The last two postseasons, too predictable, not able to make adjustments, all of that stuff. So they came out and said at the beginning of the season, we're just going to try a whole bunch of
things.
So we're ready for the playoffs. And Giannis, so interesting. I talked to him a few months ago just about how difficult it was for him. He's so competitive, right? So to know you're going into a game not necessarily with the absolute best lineup to win that game, but for a longer-term goal, that was an adjustment on his part. But to his credit, he has really made it. You can see it in the way he approaches each game. And I do think it's going to serve them better as they go to the postseason. So we will all be watching. You should keep watching the rest of the show, because up next, we will show you the nominees for NBA Best Picture. The Oscars are on Sunday, but you know the jump. We got our own little twist. Stay with us. To the jump. As you can see, we are here in LA. Look who joined us here in the studio.
Is that me?
To celebrate the Oscars on ABC at 8. I mean, that statue might have more hair than you. Yeah. That is not you. That is the senior entertainment reporter for The Undefeated, Kelly Carter. And as you can see, everyone wants to be around her. All the peoples. She is the one everyone wants to talk to. Kelly has her finger on the pulse of all things Oscars. We are so excited to have you in the studio as we count down to what is finally going to be a star-studded event after all of these, you know, kind of half broadcasts and all of this stuff.
Yes.
It is nice to have the Oscars back.
I'm very excited about that. I don't know what to expect.
Well,
I just
kind of
came from base camp, so we'll see. We'll see how it all comes together. Yeah.
I like it. We will all be watching. So, Kelly, this year's nominees, they include Mike Conley Jr. and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And I sat down and talked to Kevin. Here's what he told me about his nomination.
Okay, KD.
You were nominated for an Oscar, friend, executive producer in the short film category. The story speaks in part to the experience of a young black man. Why did you want to do it? What do you get out of being involved with that kind of stuff off the court?
Well, I feel like I'm doing something good, you know, aligning with people that tell good stories. And I felt like that story was something that can resonate with a lot of people around the world, and wasn't expecting to win awards or anything, but I just wanted to impact and touch people with that, you know, what we brought to in front of the camera, and you know, people received it well, and you know, hopefully we continue to just, you know, have our hands on things that inspire people and change the culture, I guess.
I love that answer. The movie, by the way, the short film is called Two Distant Strangers. It's beautifully written. Mm-hmm. It really speaks to everything we've been talking about over the past year. Yeah. Kelly, can you tell us a little bit more about the NBA's impact on the Oscars overall? Because they're not the first, right?
No, it's been pretty major. 2 years ago, of course, we saw Kobe Bryant up for an Oscar. He was the first former athlete to ever compete in that space. And I think when that happened, it really quite literally changed the game. Mm-hmm. Everyone else realized that this was a space that they could be taken seriously in. Mm-hmm. Especially in a world where we kind of like our athletes to just be athletes. But now
we
don't all like that. We don't all like that. And of course, I mean, you know, kind of like a collective sense, but most certainly everyone was like, oh, Hollywood is opening us with welcome arms. And then right after Kobe Bryant, Matthew Cherry came in, former NFL player, and won in that same animated short category. And now we have Mike Connelly and KD. So it's happening.
You guys got any ideas here?
No, I love it. I mean, obviously, shout out to, you know, my friend Van Lathan and Nicholas Mann were a part of that Two Distant Strangers, good friends of mine. But I think it's beautiful. I'm in the content space now, and we have some stuff cooking up. But I just love to see, as Kelly pointed out, it's more than athletics here. We can do so much more. And I love the fact that, you know, we really do have a pulse on the culture. And if we're able to bring that to life and speak on it and bring attention to certain situations, I love it when athletes are able to do that.
Yeah. And what's so crazy is that, you know, even as people that are accomplished, athletes that have made money and have all the success, sometimes it takes someone having success to prove that you can go do it. All the times we talk about, well, you know, do it for the little kids that show you can do it. It's like sometimes adults need reminders that it can be done also. And like you said, Kobe wins this. Yeah. And now you have grown men that have been successful that feel more comfortable going into the space because they see that if they do it, they will be accepted. And so I just think that this was, you know, it started years ago, but it's great to see the transition of more people being involved.
Athletes are also such an important way of diversifying that space also. I say all the time that the men of the NBA, the women of the WNBA are some of the most visible African-Americans we have in this country, certainly under the age of 40. And the fact that the barrier to entry for film has long been money, right? Yeah. You can't executive produce something if you don't have any cash.
Right.
Well, now you have visible, experienced athletes who are out there in America and able to bring the perspective of their upbringing, of their hometowns and their experience in a way that maybe we didn't see before.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I actually really love about seeing NBA athletes get involved in this is they're creative producers. They're not just writing checks. Right. Mm-hmm. They are very much involved. I know of players who schedule meetings based off when their practices are and games are to fly in to make, you know, these kind of bottom line sign-offs, which I think is really impressive. And it shows the dedication that they're bringing to this.
Yeah, we got a couple content guys over here.
I know what you mean.
All right, let's look at some NBA Oscar nominees. You know, we had to put our own jump twist on it. So these are real Oscar categories, best cinematography, but this means sort of best play, right? The nominees are Damian Lillard's game winner versus the Bulls.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Look at this. I love the cinema film look here, right?
The black and white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then he had just hit a three right before this to get him in that position, right? And then this one on top of that.
Can we CGI some fans in there?
It's the movies. You can do anything in Hollywood, right, Kelly?
We can.
All right, Luka Doncic's game winner against the Celtics. This is pretty incredible.
Who's the winner?
How's this going to end?
Oh,
I don't know.
Against the Grizzlies. Oh, the one against the Celtics wasn't bad either, by the way. But this is the Grizzlies one. Boom. All right.
I said lucky shot on that.
Now, Joel Embiid's Hail Mary. This was a miss.
Misses,
but our producers thought it was so beautiful. They wanted that. Look at that ball flying, the arc, the lines.
Yeah.
It went into the cylinder and then.
That's it.
Did it. Yeah, all right, Kelly.
That's the one. That's my winner right there because it's the unpredictable ending. Where we're used to balls going in the basket.
Yes.
But, I mean, the drama of seeing it spin around, we don't know what's going to happen. That was beautiful.
See, this is what I always say. People ask me to make predictions like Richard on this show. And I always say the beauty is I go to the movies and I see a Will Smith alien movie and I know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Will Smith and he's going to beat the alien. Yeah. Well, in a basketball game, you don't know who is Will Smith and who is the alien. You don't know who's going to come out and win at the
end.
That's
not true. That's not true. I know who I'm rooting for the whole time. The whole time. I have teams and people I can't stand.
Well, I get that, but you're special. All right, best sound. This means, of course, best sound fight, right? Good.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And the nominees are...
Thanks.
Next question's coming.
I also saw your tweets where you was saying that it was a backcourt better than me and CJ, too.
Today?
Well, I don't see how it would be today after tonight, but I did. You were saying the Wizards backcourt.
I raised it as an option because someone said there was no contest. So I said, well, what about Beal and Westbrook?
You since you got here last season, you were pushing and preaching, you know, saying that this team could be an elite defensive team. And there were moments last year where you showed that, but statistically, I think you guys finished in the middle of the pack. This year, you guys have been elite. What do you think has been the difference on the end of the court this season?
We got rid of Derrick Jones Jr., got his ass up out of here. We started guarding somebody.
It's that simple?
Yep. Simple as that. I hate you, DJ. Record that.
And we haven't gotten to chat with you since the news this weekend that Alex Rodriguez was getting ready to buy in as an owner here. Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What do you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Those are some pretty heavy hitters. Richard, is the king of the soundbite yourself, who should win best sound?
Oh, I'm going to go Damian Lillard because of that cold stare. But, you know, honorable mention is definitely, you know, is definitely Edwards. But that cold stare, it was just like.
Matt, what about you?
I agree. No, Anthony Edwards. He's unapologetically himself all the time. And I love that in people.
Damian Lillard, the acting was all in the face.
All
that's what
face.
I look for.
There you go. Well, that's our next category, by the way. Best Actor. And the nominees are. Boy. What do you do for acting in the NBA? You flop. Gary Boy. Trent Jr.
Oh,
yeah. See,
you can't
he had
hurt
to
yourself
act
flopping,
air.
Though.
It's very hard to do. You don't have any wires for that, like in the movies. You have to use that.
Ah! Well, see, we got to hear the sound.
Ah! Is that the sound you made?
Ah!
Zoinks.
Ah!
Yeah, right?
Zoinks.
Get the old Batman look here. Kyle Kuzma.
Oh. Did he just keep doing spins?
I mean, you know, that I actually believe might have been momentum. Kind of. I do.
No, you
I see if anyone's going to pursue an acting career after basketball, I see Kuzma possibly doing it, so he's just getting ready.
Okay, that's
okay
what
so
is.
This one of Jimmy Butler, you know, Jimmy's friends with Mark Wahlberg, and he said Mark gave him acting tips for this.
Oh.
And then he really held the I'm hurt thing for a while, but he couldn't help it. He peeked
see,
out.
You can't play dead in a cowboy movie and then open your eyes.
That's like a little kid, like when I'm playing, my son's
right?
playing dead, and then one of his eyes pops out.
They
that.
Try not to smile, their face. Their lips start twitching because they're trying not
all
to
all right,
smile.
So, Matt, who do you got? Who's best
ooh,
actor?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler. I like
all
that.
Right.
I like that.
I got to go with Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
The peek out
right.
was great.
That was 100% like
yes.
you, yes?
Jimmy Butler, because I like my actors of personality. So.
There we go.
There
you
go.
Boom.
Gets it.
Unanimous. All right, finally, best picture. The nominees are, and best picture is, who'd you put on that poster? Kawhi Leonard on DeAndre Ayton?
Ooh.
Snap that picture. Woo!
He never jumps very high, just very real powerful
very
when
strong.
He jumps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he gets you there.
Go over the 7-footer.
Mm-hmm.
Bear down.
Great dunk.
Woo! I don't know if you say bear down in that scenario.
Well, no, I just, you know.
just getting posterized. Anthony Edwards.
Oh.
Now, this was considered the dunk of the year, right? On Yuta Watanabe, right?
I haven't seen this kid since. The kid
wow.
that got dunked
wow.
on.
Wow.
yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, my God, nothing's going to beat this. This is the dunk of the year. Yeah. And then Miles Bridges comes out. I know that's the next role.
Should they be the best supporting actors in this?
Oh, that's true. Clint Capella is
oh,
the supporting actor
God.
In this
one.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Vince Carter-esque.
Wow.
So.
Yeah, that was Vince Carter-esque. That's...
He's my favorite dunk in the game. Right.
Fact.
This is my guy right
here. Well, we already know who the winner is.
So who you guys all picking, Miles?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. What about you?
I'm a Michigan State University graduate. Oh. So it's always going to be Miles.
There you go.
Okay. And there we go. I will remind you guys, though, there's more NBA left this season. We could have another late entrant for the best dunk of the year, but not for the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Boom. We will show you the nominees for as we go here. But thank you so much, Kelly.
Kelly,
really appreciate you being here.
Oh, my God,
here.
This was fun.
Woo! And everybody watch the Oscars this Sunday on ABC. Kelly will be there. What more do you need to know?
Two Distant Strangers. Come
Boom.
Here we go.
Look at that. Oh, look at that.
The posters to go
with
it.
We got some posters.
I love the posters.
All right, it's crunch time here on The Jump. The Spurs' victory over the Pistons last night officially eliminated the Timberwolves and Rockets from playoff contention. So, Richard.
Why are you coming to me first? Why are you coming to me first?
Well, it's just this year being eliminated from playoff contention means you did not make the top eight.
I'm gonna give you all my time right now, so go ahead and say what you gotta say.
Okay, I'm gonna go on record and say that we shouldn't even talk about this.
What?
I'm gonna go on record and say that, like, no, because respectfully, like, you're not even getting eliminated from the eighth spot. You're not getting eliminated from the ninth spot. You're getting eliminated from the tenth spot. Like, they know. This is the. They were eliminated when the season started. They didn't need to hear
this. That's not true. Yeah. What do these teams need to work on, Matt?
If you're
a loaded question.
If you're at 11th, everything, right?
Hell, I think a lot with Minnesota was health.
Yes.
You know, they missed Cat a lot. D'Angelo was gone. With Houston losing James, losing your GM, that kind of built a style. They're trying to find a new identity. Shout out to John Wall, great bounce back year. I think he's averaging 20.7 rebounds, yep. But they both have a long way to go.
And both teams have quality pieces that if you add a little bit more, they're going to be fine. Like you said, John Wall bounce back. Houston's a great place to play. Minnesota. Listen, Minnesota, you got the number one pick in Karl-Anthony Towns. You got a number one pick in Anthony Edwards. You have a number two pick in D'Angelo Russell. You have a ton of talent. You just got to put veterans and surround them and raise up their accountability.
And to Matt's point, they have a top three protected pick. Now, if the lottery happens and they fall out of that top three, that pick goes to the Warriors. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Kelly Carter. Make sure to catch her on the Oscars Sunday.